This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide.
Visit joy.org.au/hide-and-seek.
Welcome to it. This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Tim Little with you, and I'm joined by Andrew the Apprentice.
Good evening, team. Tim.
Good evening. We are a team.
We are
tonight.
A team. Thank you.
How's your week been?
Very well, thank you. Busy day yesterday.
So much Midsummer Madness.
And Midsummer Madness, of course. So public holiday yesterday was nice.
I know. And when we say Midsummer, we are talking about parties and cultural things.
We are.
But tonight we're talking about parties in particular.
We are. Exactly. So, you know, I was thinking before that, you know, back in the day, back in New York, Bette Midler used to perform at the steam houses back in New York.
Can you explain a steam house? Is that like a sauna?
Like a sauna, yes.
Really?
So the gay saunas, Bette Midler used to perform at the gay saunas back in the 70s.
I don't know if that would arouse me very much.
but tonight we're going to be talking about, well, sort of related but different things. We'll see. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Sex on premises venues having parties.
Yes.
And parties,
there are a few of them, right?
And there are a few of them. But also parties having sex on premises. So
yeah,
we're going to be chatting about that a lot tonight. We have got Eric from the Barber Party coming in, and Simon, who is looking after the Manhunt Pool Party. So they're both happening over the next couple of weeks. So we'll be able to have a chat to them both about what they're doing.
Very, very exciting indeed.
Joy 94.9.
You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew the Apprentice here, along with Mr. Tim. Good evening. Good evening.
And we are talking about two of my favourite subjects tonight, sex and dance parties. Yeah. And we're joined by the wonderful Eric Fari from Barber Party. Welcome to the studio.
Hi guys, thanks for having me on the show.
That's all right.
Thanks for coming on.
Now, we're hearing a little bit under us here, we're hearing a little bit of what people might be expecting at Barber coming up. What? Tell us about what's inspired the Barber Party to start up?
Well, me and two of my close friends, Jonathan and Carlos, we were always going out and partying all the time. And we always used to just joke about it, really. Oh, what if we throw a party kind of thing, and how we'd do it and everything. And I've been in Melbourne for like 2 years almost now. I was living in the UK for 5 years before that. So I had a lot of like different views on parties and different ways to have fun, I guess, which was kind of, I thought, was like missing in Melbourne. So we sort of just put all our ideas together and we threw the first barber party about a year ago now, just over. And it was a huge hit, like from day one.
In the UK, yep. Describe a typical a party that you'd like in the UK. What sort of things would be happening?
People do party a lot harder there. I find they start partying on a Thursday usually and keep on partying until it's like Sunday to the last minute. And then a lot of them will go to work Monday, which probably with no sleep, I reckon. And it's quite surprising to see the people that do party. Like a lot of them will be like teachers and doctors and, you know, it's just everyone. And I find that there's so many different people moving through the city as well, like tourists, that it adds a different element too. I mean, it's a lot to sort of say in a nutshell, but yeah, there is so many different like classes of parties you can go to there, rather than just like this is your gay bar and, you know, you know what to expect sort of thing.
And what were the elements that you felt were missing in the Melbourne scene?
Just the underground feel of some of the clubs especially, and the genres of music that get played more often. Like here I found that the gay clubs and parties that I was going to, it was just very mainstream sort of commercial type of music. And it's kind of like it fits into the stereotype of what gay people like to hear.
Yes. It's sort of vocal pop, vocal house,
yeah,
type music.
Yeah, so it's kind of like got that sort of easy kind of feel to it. And when I came back here and I started to play at some of the parties, I was kind of getting the reception at first that the music I was playing was a little bit sort of alternative and rough, and I was getting criticism for it. But over that year, it's sort of like people grew to like it. And when we started to realize that is when we decided that, well, maybe we can create a party where we actually play that kind of music and people will come to hear it, and it won't just be like a gay night that's on. And
you mentioned underground there. Is it a case that underground is informed by the music, or is there some other element to making something underground?
I think it's just being left of center, like just being like not the mainstream, really. Like any party can be underground. It doesn't have to be a particular genre. I mean, like, we play techno music, but you know, it can easily be that there could be an underground party that's house as well, but not the sort of house that you hear played out more often. And it's just the crowd, generally speaking, is different as well, not on purpose, but because they like a particular thing that, you know, is quite niche, you'll often find that the crowd is very varied than to going to a mainstream party.
So do you find the people who come, they come for the music first and then the sexy dance floor antics, or the other way around?
Well, no, I wouldn't say it's one or the other. We never really set out to like create a sexy party, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, you know, that's something that you want. You know, you want people to be sexy when they come, and you want them to be like adventurous and everything else. But first and foremost, it was the music, and you know, we wanted to bring something that was a little bit different with a different flavor. And even now we find that the crowd is very split. We never actually like promote our party as like a sex party. You know, we always promote it as a sweaty techno party, and you know, that's what it is first before it's a sexual party.
Sure.
But having said that, there is a lot that goes on, and we're very open and accepting of that.
Is it a case that you, since day one, have you provided space for that to occur?
We don't have so much like an allocated space.
Yep.
Again, and that's
no dark rooms.
Yeah, yep. And again, that's because we're not promoting it as a sex party, so people kind of just go for it wherever. But you know, we've got sort of the licensing with the venue and the agreement that it's cool. So like, you know, nobody will get. I mean, like, it's not just a matter of the things they do. It's like a lot of our crowd will even like to just dance naked, and there's quite a few that people that Tim's looking at me like, yeah, I know who. But there is quite a few people that will just like, and it's becoming more and more as it goes on, because people are realizing that we're very accepting of that. So you know, like the last barber in particular, I remember I was on at 12 o'clock, so it was quite early, and that's when kind of the rush happens for us, when like everyone kind of just rushes into the party, and there was people going for it on the stage already, and I could see it like when I was DJing, and I was like, wow. But like the earlier parties weren't so full on, but now that people know that, you know, it's okay to do that, you know, they are getting naked straight away, and things are happening a lot faster.
You began by saying that you're influenced by the parties that are happening in the UK, for example. Yeah. To me, that sounds more like a Berlin sort of thing that would happen by stereotype,
that
as
too.
Opposed to a UK sort of thing.
I mean, the reference was that because I lived there for a while, but I have been to Berlin, and
you're right. Yes.
Berlin is like, it's more geared towards that, where, you know, they will have like nights that are like sex nights, like Lab, if you've heard of that. So yeah, I mean, it's a bit of both, but having said that, like in London, there is a wide option, and there is bars that you can go to that have like a dress code, I guess you can call it, where you have to go in naked. Like they'll allow just like sneakers and that's it.
Yep.
So like, you know, I got to see a lot of different things there. It kind of does cater for a bigger audience, maybe than Berlin. That's why I was saying, like, can compare it to Melbourne now, whereas we're getting a lot of new parties coming up, and you know, the scene is growing and it's catering to a lot more people than it used to.
But again, we're still only a city of 4 million-ish, compared to London, which is, what, 8 to 10 million or something
and
like
that. And you're completely right, and that's why we can't hold up parties as frequently as they would happen over there. We, like, I mean, if we had Barber on a weekly basis, it probably wouldn't be as busy as it is, and, you know, people sort of look out for it and hang out for it now, and it's like, so we sort of can keep it to 6 to 8 weeks.
And you've been to a few venues now. What is something that you look forward to in a venue when you're creating this kind of event?
Yeah, so the biggest thing is obviously that the crowd needs to be comfortable. And the reason why we've stopped like 3 times now is basically that is probably the biggest factor. You know, we don't want our crowd to feel judged by the staff. We don't want them to feel like, you know, they can't do whatever. Like a lot of the venues, they will have security that will carry on torches, for example. And, you know, people are looking for dark corners. They don't want a security to be like flashing a torch at them, you know, looking for drugs or whatever it may be. You know, so we just want them to be comfortable to be able to do what they want.
Is one thing we haven't addressed yet, is Barber mixed gender?
Yes. So we don't have a policy where it has to be male only. We're open to everyone, and we always tell people that Barber knows no gender. So anyone is welcome, and, you know, if you're comfortable in that kind of space, yeah, it's open to everyone.
Now, the other thing you inferred, I guess, from your London experiences is that people party for, you know, 3 days in a row.
Yeah.
Which indicates there may be some substances to assist them along that route. Do you have, and we know from when a couple of weeks ago when Tim and Dean were chatting, the Harm Reduction Victoria had got the roving support. Do you guys have that as well?
We do have VAC help us out.
Yep.
So basically they come and supply like condoms and lube and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
I mean, we don't promote it, like I said, but we still have to look out for all our punters that come. So like we do provide, you know, that sort of thing for safe sex. We put up posters about, like, now about PrEP, because that's becoming more popular, just so that, you know, people, maybe they have those sort of conversations before they go into doing things with other people. So, yeah, I mean, we do our bit on that side as well.
And have you purposely kept the party in the city, or is that just something that's happened through venues?
No, we have, because we just found that was, I guess, one of the elements of the party, to have a party that's based in the CBD. Like, it went so well at the first venue that we just wanted to keep it there, and we didn't want to, like, start a new crowd all of a sudden, because if you do move into the, you know, even, like, in the north or south sides, for example, it will attract different people, and we sort of want to keep the same vibe and the same feel of the party.
Sure.
We are chatting with Eric Fahey, one of the organisers of the Barber Party, and we're going to be chatting very shortly to Simon about the Manhunt Pool Party, which is another, you know, similar but different type of party that will be happening very soon. If you've got any comments or questions, let us know, 0427JOY949, or you can email onair@joy.org.au. This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Share your thoughts. Email onair@joy.org.au. Have your say. SMS 0427 JOY949. And connect with your community.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek. This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Tim Little with you, and I'm joined by Andrew the Apprentice.
Yes.
And Eric from Barber Party. Welcome.
Hello.
And we are talking dance parties and sex tonight.
We are. Now, Eric, one thing about, I noticed at a few parties nowadays, there tends to be a performance that happens during the party of various types, depending on which party you're at. Is there not a danger that you kill the vibe of a party by the performance? Or the wrong performance?
We kind of try and keep it so that it flows as much as possible.
Yep.
Some of our performers, they bring their own tracks, We just sort of try and guide them a little bit if they can keep it to the techier side so that it will go into the sets. But other times we do have to stop the music a little bit. We find that it's not really a problem and it sort of adds a different aspect to the party. Sorry, I've gone really husky. I've had a bit of a sore chest for a couple of days. It does work really well. And it's always a surprise to us and the crowd. We don't really get too involved in what the performers plan for the night. And also, going back to what you were saying before, a lot of the time the performances that we've had, they're not like promoting masculinity or anything like that. And it's actually quite the opposite. And we usually have like people that are quite sort of not gender specific, more like gender benders. I wouldn't even call them like drag queens.
Yeah.
But just people that are like happy to be themselves. And, you know, they just come up with some really cool costumes and, you know, dance around or whatever it is. Some of them will do some choreography or script it. But yeah. Works pretty well.
So in your promos, you feature a lot of very sexy men with beards.
Yeah.
And my understanding is Baba is actually Spanish for beard.
Yep, that's right.
Do you guys put thought into your promotions to ensure that you're not just going for a masculine kind of vibe and maybe want to ensure that you're gender diverse, for example?
Yeah, I mean, like, a lot of the guys that we have used to date, they are people, actually, that come to the party as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have had a few of our friends that live overseas model for them too, like the current one now. But most of them are guys from Melbourne, and we sort of scout them at the parties. We haven't had like non-bearded sort of model so far, but that's because of the name of the party, really. It's not because we're trying to like get those kind of people only to come along.
Sure.
We have got quite a few like females that come along regularly.
Yep.
We have female DJs as well. We're not promoting just to that sort of crowd.
Sure. And speaking of DJs, this time around you've got Dylan Griffin.
Yep.
Dylan played at festivals like Earth Frequency, Eclipse and Petridge and Subsonic.
Yep.
And the Rainbow Serpent Festival, which
was
recently.
Yeah, he was just there on the weekend.
And a lot of your DJs, and I suppose the question comes down to how do you find your DJs?
That's another thing that is quite different about our party, I think, because a lot of our DJs aren't actually from the gay scene. They're more DJs that you would find playing on the straight techno scene.
Yep.
And the reason why we do actually bring them too is basically not just to open up people to the different sort of music that's out there that they might not hear at gay venues, but it's also to be able to combine the elements of where they can get naked and listen to their favorite DJ possibly playing in the background. With techno music especially, in Melbourne, it's like very cliquey and kind of it belongs more to the straight scene, but it's not really the way it is overseas. For example, like in Berlin, it's very widespread in the gay scene, and a lot of even here now I'm getting people messaging me and saying like, your last set made me horny, or I really like what you just uploaded online and whatever. And there is actually like a it sort of goes hand in hand with techno music, and if it's a really a well planned out set, it can actually have those effects on people.
Yep.
And it can actually put you in a trance, and like, you know, whether you're high or whether you're not, it does affect you in a way where it's kind of happening subconsciously. And it's great to be able to have like a gay party that has that kind of music. And you know, the DJs that we scout, they are from this straight scene, but they're also very open and very cool, and you know, we do brief them before.
How much do you have to brief them?
Not much usually, because like we just tell them we're like got a little mini Berlin happening, and a lot of them actually have heard about the party and they've heard of me scouting their friends in the past for other parties. So usually when I message someone, they're like, oh yeah, I know.
Haven't you asked me before?
It's actually quite easy. Like in the beginning, I used to have to sort of brief them, it's a gay party, blah, blah, blah. But nowadays it's just like, hey, I'm Eric from Barber. And they're like, yeah, I know. So it's
like, that's very handy. And putting on parties yourself, has that changed the way that you party, for example?
It's very different when you're putting on a party, believe it or not. It's as much as we try and get into it and party with the crowd, we're always in work mode and we're always like thinking what's going to happen next, what performance is next, which DJ is next, always keeping an eye on the time. So it's like you can't quite relax and get into it as much as the crowd does. So often we will actually go out and party afterwards as well. Yeah, I don't know what it's like to be there as a punter, really. It's probably a different experience to what I experience myself.
So do you go out into the straight techno scene and draw your inspiration from that?
Yeah, I do sort of go to a bit of both. And I mean, I play at other gay parties as well, like Trough, for example. I've been playing there for the last year, pretty much every party that they've had on. So, yeah, I mean, it's good to see different elements, but I suppose for me as a DJ, it's just really good to hear other people's sets and their inspirations and different sounds they bring, and that sort of helps me with the music programming of Barber and who I should put on, and I know that the next person's set will fit in well with theirs as well. So I do have to sort of keep my ears to the ground because I play at every party too, so I kind of have to change up my style
sure.
to suit who else I'm putting on that night. So, yeah.
How did you get into being a DJ?
It's a bit of a funny story, actually, because I've always been a bit of a music freak, but I was dating someone in the UK that was a DJ, and I always wanted to sort of learn from him, and he was very like, no, no, no. And then when we broke up, he left his equipment at my place. So I kind of like was like, yeah, okay, I'm going to have a play with this. And I just got a real kick out of it. And then I did a short little course with the London Sound Academy, and they sort of taught me the ropes with like music programming as well, and just how, you know, a track goes and how to mix it. And you know, it was just good to get the to understand how a track actually works as well, and that's all I kind of needed, and the rest of it I just sort of
And is it a case that you have to listen to other mixes that are happening so that you get a greater understanding about how it all works together?
And like actually I've kind of like I'm kind of weird when it comes to music, because like when I hear music, it's almost like I can see colors. I always tell people and they just look at me like weirdly. And it's like, and a lot of my inspiration actually for my next set comes from like, I could be out and I'll probably be high and it'll be like 4 a.m. in the morning and I'll hear a track and all I have to hear is just like one little melody in that track. And my mind will just do weird things with it, and I'll just go on like this spree the next week looking for that particular sound and trying to replicate it. And I don't know, like from that I end up just like birthing some sort of new set that I didn't actually plan out to do, if that makes sense. So
sure,
you'll find that a lot of my stuff, if you listen on SoundCloud, like it's kind of like goes through a journey, and I go through different phases where I like different sounds and produce different sets. Yeah.
You're on Joy 94.9, Hide and Seek, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. And we're listening to a little bit of Eric's mixing right at the moment, underneath.
You're with Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Tim Little and Andrew the Apprentice with you.
That's right. And we've been chatting with Eric about the barber party and sexy parties and parties with sex.
And lots of sex and sex and parties.
That's right. And another one that's happening very soon on Saturday the 6th of February is the Manhunt Pool Party. One of the organisers, Simon, is with us on the line. Good evening, Simon.
Good evening. Hi, how's it going, guys?
Very well. Now, your party's a little bit different to Eric's in that you are actually running your party at a sex on premises venue.
Yeah, that's right. Look, it's a fantastic venue, and it's an ironic twist that it's probably the one day of the year that it's at its least sexual for those who don't want it to be. So
is it the case... So why is that important, do you think, for a party, in that it provides space for those who want to be sexual and those who don't?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, part of the reason that the Manhunt Pool Party is so successful is that it's such a fascinating combination of, you know, everything from guys who've never been to that venue before, and a party like that is kind of the perfect icebreaker for them to, you know, maybe end up exploring that side of things. But, you know, I think plenty of guys come along with the intention of, you know, just staying in their shorts and singlet and hanging by the bar and enjoying the great tune. And, you know, then there's people there who had no idea there's a pool party on. They just come along because they're there every weekend, and they go upstairs and do their thing, and there's everything in between as well. So
do you see people fucking on the side of the pool? Is it that kind of party?
No. Look, it's not really that explicit for most of the day. I think the venue lends itself really well to a fantastic kind of separation without segregation between, you know, those people who want to just kick up their heels and have a great time and those people who want to just party by the pool. So
now your pool party has, I suppose, got a different sound to the one we were just talking about with Eric at Barber. Eric's Barber party is a bit more sweaty techno. What sort of music genres do you have down at your party?
The Manhunt Pool Party is normally a pretty uplifting, you know, sing-along vocal house kind of party, I guess. It's, you know, the pool opens out onto the courtyard and the beautiful rooftop, and we're always blessed with the sunshine. That means it's great to just, yeah, enjoy some really uplifting kind of tunes while you party by the pool.
Well, you've got DJ Adam Love, Jade Glover and Fragile Future all happening at the pool party. And it's, of course, part of Midsummer, so people can get their tickets through that. So what's your, I suppose, key message to those who perhaps want to explore a bit of the dark side to what they're not used to?
Yeah, look, I think, again, it's, you know, the Manhunt Pool Party is just such a perfect opportunity to, you know, get to explore something that might be a little bit different for some guys and a little bit out of some people's comfort zones. It's, you know, I think it's the day that you can get yourself along to a fantastic venue like that and really have a great time of it and not be intimidated as a newcomer. I think that, you know, that kind of sex on premises environment can probably feel pretty overwhelming for a lot of guys, and hopefully the Manhunt Pool Party is something that makes that a little bit more comfortable for people who maybe have always been a bit curious and can finally take that leap of faith to get along and just enjoy themselves.
And Simon, I know you've been busy with some Midsummer stuff this evening, and you would have missed me saying it at the top of the show, but, you know, it does hark back to the days of Bette Midler in the steam rooms and the steam bath and the bathhouses over in New York back in the 70s.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's such a fantastic combination of, you know, we have some amazing entertainment lined up as well as 8 hours worth of DJ. And, yeah, it really just creates such a social environment, and it's a really fantastic feeling to stand there on the day, you know, amongst a great group of guys who are all shapes and sizes and come from all walks of life and are dressed in everything from, yeah, the shorts and singlet down to their birthday suits and, you know, splashing around in the pool and just really making a great day of it. So
have you guys always been at a sex on premises venue, or is that something new for the party?
No, the Manhunt Pool Party has always been at that venue. So, and it was born out of a concept that I actually took to the venue. Said, you know, years ago, there used to be a Midsummer Pool Party. And, you know, it's just something that we need to bring back, but I can't picture trying to get all these council-run pools on board with the idea of ethical license and putting a DJ in a pool and, you know, all of these wonderful things that we're able to do with the Manhunt Pool Party. So,
well,
this is our seventh year, I think, and it just, look, it goes from strength to strength every year. It's such a wonderful event, and to have Adam Love back with us every year, he was kind of part of the birth of the first party, I guess. He and I kind of took this concept to them and said, look, we have to do this. Wouldn't this be amazing to make a day of it by the pool and really kind of sex that up a bit? So.
Well, Simon, we can wait for the day where Fitzroy Pool or Paran Pool gets turned into a massive dance venue. But until then, the Manhunt Pool Party is on Saturday, the 6th of February. All the details are at midsummer.org.au. Simon, thank you so much for joining us briefly this evening. I know it's been a busy time for you, but all the best for the party.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys, and I look forward to seeing you there.
Cheers. And Eric is still in the studio with us. Simon was just talking about, of course, at his pool party, people are in their shorts and singlets and speedos and not much else, and even less. What's your general dress code in regards to... I know you mentioned...
Yeah, it's most people don't wear shirts. It's like shorts or jeans,
yep.
Trainers. Just touching on what Simon was saying as well, our venue is actually licensed for sex on premise as well. So that's why we are allowed to let people loose. Just, what I mentioned that. we had a midsummer after party recently, which Tim was there as well, and that was pretty crazy.
Yeah, it was lots of fun.
And that, actually, there's an example of, I think people have just got to know our parties now. We in no way were expecting it to be like sexy as it was.
People were talking about it during the day.
Yeah.
And it
was pretty sexy. But the good thing about it was that it was kind of weird, but there were so many different cliques and crowds.
Yeah,
so,
it was quite a diverse crowd.
It was so diverse, but everyone was still so comfortable. And I mean, the people that I was hanging around most of the night, they weren't naked, obviously. They were clothed and whatever, clothed. But we had so much fun still, and it was just still fun to see all that going on around you, sort of thing. And a lot of it, even we were in disbelief. So it was a really good party as well. So yeah.
And I guess the message we're trying to get across tonight, I guess, is that there are these parties that are out there that you can go to. Things may be happening around you, but don't be shy to just go along and test it out, I guess.
Yeah. It's whatever you're comfortable with. I mean, I go along to a lot of these parties and, obviously because I work at them as well. But, recently, I don't take part in them. I have a boyfriend and whatever, and we're not open. But, we're still happy to go along and party. And, we encourage everyone to come along and, you might not want to take part in it, but that doesn't mean you can't come and enjoy the music.
You can still take part in having fun.
Yeah, you can take part in your own way, exactly.
Yeah.
So, there's no pressure on anyone that you have to be topless or you have to be doing this and I think that's what sort of, opens out the doors to everyone and, you don't have to be male or female or whatever.
So you can basically wear whatever you want, but less is more probably when you're in a basement.
Yeah. Yeah, it does get hot.
Quite hot and sweaty being in summer.
Yeah.
Well, Eric, all the best for the barber party. The next one is coming up on Friday evening. Check out Barber Party on Facebook and all the details are there.
Yeah, we have a Facebook page and you can get your tickets there too. So, it's this Friday at 10 o'clock.
Eric, thank you so much for joining us this evening here on Hide and Seek. And Tim, that's about all we've got time for this evening.
I know, it's been a very eventful night.
It has been.
I want to party now, Andrew. I can't wait till Friday.
Big thank you to Simon joining us as well. All the details of the Manhunt Pool Party are at midsummer.org.au. We might see you down at the Laird on Friday night as well for mooning.
There's some mooning going on. I wonder if Steve's going to beat his record with the champagne.
We will see on the evening. And then, as we said, everyone will be heading along to Barber, no doubt, after that one.
And Pride on Sunday.
Sunday the 31st. It is happening down at Fitzroy Street in St Kilda, as always. Starting at, I think it's, I don't know actually what time it's starting. It'll be 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock. Go to midsummer.org.au for all the details. I believe I might be on air on Sunday. So
I'm going to be wearing leather, I think.
Fair enough.
Hope it's not too hot.
Hopefully we'll see you down there. Of course, before we go, don't forget, all of our podcasts are available at joy.org.au/hideandseek. A big thank you to David for that. All of our links to social media are there, so get along, follow us on Twitter and Facebook as well.
And thanks to Ian for the lovely message. He's loving the show tonight.
And coming up next is JB with Strip Down. This has been Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self.
And sex. And sex.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hideandseek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au. Hide and Seek is presented by Andrew the Apprentice, James Findlay, and Avi Miller. Post-production by David Cheshire.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek. Hide and Seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.